Good morning, dear listener. Are you walking by faith? The Israelites, the first nation of God, could not maintain their relationship with God as a result of unbelief. They lacked the faith to obey the commandments which God gave to them, though they had in a covenant earlier declared thus, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. God did wonderful and marvelous miracles among them, but it did not help them to trust in the word of the Lord. Unbelief closes somebody's eyes and mind against all evidence leading to the truth. So, dear listener, there is a warning given by the Holy Spirit concerning the danger of having an evil heart of unbelief. Let the Bible speak from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13.
Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 13.
Thank you. So, dear listening friend, you are listening to Let the Bible Speak, a broadcast that aims at allowing the Bible to answer our questions concerning God, His church, His Son, the purpose of man on earth, and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Let the Bible Speak is a sponsored program of the Church of Christ that meets and worships at Life Camp Junction in Abuja. The Church of Christ advocates a return to the Christianity that is found in the New Testament section of our Bibles. At Let the Bible Speak, we continue to reiterate our belief concerning the Word of God, which is the seed of the Kingdom of Christ, that biblical Christianity and the church that Jesus Christ founded and established can be reproduced the way it was when Jesus designed and founded it, with the same seed that was used to produce it close to 2,000 years ago. Now, we believe that the Bible teaches us to plant that same seed in order to restore and maintain the undenominational Christianity as revealed in the pages of the New Testament of Christ. And we pray that you, dear listening friend, will join us in this noble quest. My name is Abiodun Adegoroye, and with me in the studio this morning is David Akwata, a minister of the gospel with our sponsoring congregation, Church of Christ Kado, an evangelist serving at the Church of Christ Galadimawa.
Good morning, beloved listener. May God bless you as you join us in His word, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We also have Felix Ekpeyong, a servant of God, serving at the Church of Christ Masaka. The Church of Christ Masaka worships opposite Angwa Fulani Fuel Station along Jankawa Road, Masaka.
Beloved, we are glad to have you once again join us this morning. May God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Let the Bible Speak broadcast comes to you by the sponsorship of the Church of Christ Kado. And the Church of Christ Kado meets and worships at Life Camp Junction, adjacent to Fana Hotel, 100 meters away from Polaris Bank at Life Camp Junction. Today's broadcast will examine the faith of Mordecai as recorded in the book of Esther. As we begin the study, we ask that you please join us in a word of prayer.
We praise and exalt your name, for you are faithful in all generation. We thank you, merciful Father, for this wonderful day that you have gathered your children to once again delve into your words. We pray that you enrich our understanding in the truth and build our faith, and grant us the courage to do your will as we learn from men of faith in scriptures. Father, we pray that you bless our nation and protect and keep us safe in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Beloved, as we continue in our studies on the need to walk by faith, today we want to examine the faith of Mordecai as narrated in the book of Esther. But before we learn lessons from Mordecai's faith, we would like to refresh you on what faith is. What is faith? The word faith portrays the idea of believing. The basic definition of the word involves trust. Usage of the word expands its fullest meaning to the concept of not only trust, but also dependency, confidence, and reliance upon. To have faith, then, simply means taking God by His word, relying on what God has spoken concerning your life, its purpose and direction, your salvation and worship of the Almighty God. Sometimes, what God has spoken may be directly contrary to our wishes, our desires. Therefore, having faith in God means submitting to God's word at the expense of our circumstances, our passions, but not the other way around. In troublesome times, during moments of frustration and dependency and despondency, when everything seems to be lost, when those you look upon to as spiritual fathers turn out to be your predators who extort and defile you, leaving you depressed and deserted to the extent that you no longer believe in the word of God and the salvation God offers, you must ask yourself some very important questions. What am I seeing? What am I looking at? Am I walking by sight or by faith? This man, Mordecai, found himself in an hostile pagan community. He depended on God. He had confidence in God and relied upon God. He did not compromise God's standard, though he was treated with contempt and was not even rewarded immediately for the good work that he did. He was despised for trusting in the true God. Yet, notwithstanding all this, he had a sustained faith in God. Mordecai's faith is not often spoken of, but like other heroes of faith, he expressed an exceptional faith that is worth learning from. Let us learn a few things from this man's faith. In the background, we have Mordecai, who was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He's considered as hero of the book of Esther. His great-grandfather, Kish, had been carried to Babylon along with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, as seen in Esther chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. Let the Bible speak.
Now, there was a Jew in Susa, the citadel, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, son of Shemuel, son of Kish, a Benjaminite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem among the captives, carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away. Esther chapter 2, verses 5 to 6.
Yes, Mordecai was probably born in Babylonia during the years of the captivity of the Jewish people by this pagan nation. He was a resident of that Susa, or Shushan, the Persian capital, during the reign of Ahasuerus, Xerxes I. For nearly 60 years before the story narrated in Esther, the Jews had been granted freedom to return to Palestine, but neither Mordecai's father Jair nor he chose to return to their homeland. When his uncle died in Persia, leaving his motherless daughter, Mordecai took that orphaned cousin, Hadassah, her name is Esther, into his home as her adoptive father. Esther chapter 2 verse 7. Now, we may not be able to read the whole narration of the whole story of the book of Esther, but we want to bring out some principles to learn from Mordecai's faith. So we want to see some of his more prudent actions at this particular story. Now, here are some principles to glean from Mordecai's faith. Number one, Mordecai's faith was not superficial. His faith was not seeking for some immediate physical reward. He was employed in the royal palace at Susa, and one day, while carrying out his duty, Mordecai discovered a plot of two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, who had conspired to assassinate King Ahasuerus. Mordecai exposed this assassination plot, saving the king's life. No immediate reward came from the king, as one would have expected, only that Mordecai's good deed was recorded in the royal chronicles of Persia. Esther chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. Let the Bible speak.
In those days, as Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bitan and Teshe, two of the king's eunuchs who guard the threshold, became angry and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And this came to the knowledge of Mordecai, and he told it to Queen Esther. And Esther told the king in the name of Mordecai. When the affair was investigated and found to be so, the men were both hung on the gallows, and it was recorded in the books of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. Esther chapter 2, verse 21 to 23.
Thank you. Dear listener, there are many who will come to God with their own agenda in mind. Many have been made to believe that the Christian God is an ATM, an automatic teller machine, who dispenses money at the mention of Jesus' name, even when they do not even have personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, nor worship him in spirit and in truth as he has commanded in John 4:24. So many rush to various assemblies where they have been deceived by some sensational showmen or women who are bent on deceiving the uncritical minded. with their flattering speeches to feed their stomach. Let the Bible speak from Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 18.
I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own belly or appetite, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the heart of the naive. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 to 18.
Thank you. You see, what? Shine your eye. Christianity today has been reduced to what one will get out of it. Many no longer care about the word of God to obey it. Many no longer anchor their faith on the word of God, but they believe more in the words of the stomach-motivated men who will give them empty promises, things that God has not promised the disobedient, men who declare what has not been declared by God. And because many people want to be freed from their problems, such as poverty, sickness, witchcraft, they want to have success in their businesses, marriages, etc., they search for solutions and get pulled into these many different organizations that are called churches, where they will be extorted. This has made many to exchange the word of God for the words of men, and many can no longer endure sound teaching that will save their souls. It becomes very difficult to believe in God's simple plan of salvation and worship. They pray heavily and vigorously. Still, their problems remain with them, and their so-called pastors keep on giving them false hope. And after a long while, when they do not get answers, they result in other means, with the cliche that heaven helps those who help themselves. So, dear listener, it's sad today that we hardly find people who will just do good without expecting a reward immediately, like Mordecai. In our society today, it has become a norm that you must give something for something. After all, nothing goes for nothing. Some politicians remember the masses because they want to win elections. Mm-hmm. Some employers will want to sleep with the female job seeker and collect money from their male counterparts before they employ them. Sometimes admission is given to those whose parents are able to pay huge sums of money. It has gotten so bad that even some so-called pastors will only want to attend to members who pay huge amount of tithes or money.
It's happening.
Those who make fabulous donations to that denomination are given special attention, and so on. If this set of people were Mordecai's friend, maybe what they would have asked him is record book go chop. Jesus Christ did not command that good should be done only to those who will and can pay us back, but also to those who do not even have the capacity to pay back. Let the Bible speak from Luke chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, and chapter 14, verse 12 to 14.
And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. Luke chapter 6, verse 33 to 34.
When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Lest they also invite you in return and you will be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14.
Thank you. It took about 5 years or more for Mordecai to receive his reward.
Mm.
It was God, who is in charge of rewards, that selected the day for Mordecai to be honored. He needed to have faith to continue to do good and wait on the Lord. Let us hear how Mordecai was rewarded. Let the Bible speak from Esther chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, and verse 6, and then verse 7 to 11.
On that night, the king could not sleep, and he gave order to bring book of the memorable deeds and the chronicles, and they were read before the kings. And it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bethan and Tesha, two of the king's eunuchs who guard the threshold, and who had sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor or distinction had been bestowed on Mordecai for this? The king's young men who attended to him said, Nothing had been done for him. So Hamah came in, and the king said to him, "What shall be done to the man whom the king delight to honor?" And Hamah said to the king, "For the man whom the king delight to honor, let royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on those heads a royal crown is set, and let the robe and the horse be handed over to the one of the king's most noble official, and let them dress the man whom the king delight to honor, and let him lead him on the horse through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, 'Thou shalt be done to the man who the king delights to honor.'" Then the king said to Hamah, "Hurry, take the robe and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have mentioned." So Hamah took the robe and the horse, and he dressed Mordecai, and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." Esther chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 3, and verse 7 to verse 11.
Thank you. It has often been said that God's delays are not God's denials.
That's true.
We sometimes get impatient and wonder why the wicked are prospering while the righteous are suffering. But God is never in a hurry. He's a long-suffering, long-suffering towards the wicked because he wants them to repent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 said that. And he's patient with his own people because he wants them to receive the right reward at the right time for the right purpose. If Mordecai was ever puzzled because the king promoted Haman but ignored him, he would have found out that God has not made a mistake. As you make a decision today to walk by faith by obeying God's word, may his word find fulfillment in your life in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, another principle tapped from Mordecai's faith is that he showed his loyalty only to God and not to man by refusing to bow to Haman, the official second only to the king. Esther chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Let the Bible speak.
"After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the Agagite, the son of Hamadatha, and advanced him and set his throne above all the officials who were with him. And all the king's servants who were at the king's gates bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage." Esther chapter 3, verses 1 to 2.
Okay, according to the Greek historian Herodotus, when the Persians bow before their king, they pay homage as to a god. Mordecai, a Jew, would not condone such idolatry in his life. This understanding may have made Mordecai to refuse to bow to Haman, since it was a violation of the second commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 to 6, that no other person should be worshipped except God alone. So one personal reason Mordecai could have succumbed to bowing to Haman would have been for favor or promotion. But he didn't, because his faith and loyalty was only to God. Many today are loyal to money, and so they sell their souls to gain money. Some religious leaders twist the word of God to deceive the simple-hearted believers to get money from them. A video surfaced some time ago of a popular Jew who in the video was bragging to have bought his third jet plane during COVID-19. In trying to defend himself against an allegation that he had a money printing machine, he said, "When you speak in tongues, you can print money, or you are printing money." This is the height of deception. Instead of leading people to God through his word, it appears he's making people his money printing machine. By pretending to be speaking a foreign heavenly language, people may come to believe that he's a messenger of God and give in to his request for money. Well, Paul, who spoke in tongues more than anybody else, did not do so to make money, but to preach salvation to unbelievers, to bring them to Christ. Let the Bible speak from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18 and 19.
"I thank God that I speak in tongue more than all of you. Nevertheless, in the church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18 to 19.
In order to instruct others, not Zakarukuboba, Santarbobo. The result of the tongues that was spoken on the day of Pentecost was that 3,000 people were converted to Christ, while the result of today's tongue speakers is to make money.
Money.
Beloved listening friend, please shine your eyes. Today, many are loyal to their geos rather than to Christ. They despise and neglect the word of Christ and hold in high esteem the word of their geos. When Christ said, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16, and that baptism saves you, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. But your geo can say, you don't need to be baptized to be saved. You don't even need baptism. You need to only believe and then be born again, and then you'll be saved. And afterwards, you can attend baptismal class and do exam, and then you can be baptized as an outward manifestation for the inward grace.
Mm.
Who are you going to believe? And to whom are you going to be loyal? Dear listener, Mordecai was only a gatekeeper in a foreign land, a pagan environment. It was possible that he was not all comfortable in life, at least economically. But his circumstances did not push him to withdraw his faith and loyalty from God to a mere man because of gain. Though you may be facing trials or you have some thorn piercing your feet, running away from God to man is not an option, because one thought that should remain supreme in your heart is that Christ thinks of you.
Amen.
If only you will draw near to him and abide in his word. For the word of God says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. James chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. Now, one additional lesson, maybe the last one for this today, that we can get from Mordecai's faith, can be taken. He had trusting confidence in God's power to save in the time of crisis. So, dear listener, when you make a decision to walk by faith and depend solely on God and his word, especially in regards to salvation and worship of God, you will face some oppositions. You may even face crisis, even from your closest relations. Haman's hatred of Mordecai sparked and grew like a cancerous tumor and soon developed into hatred for the whole Jewish race. He planned to kill and annihilate all the Jews in the Persian Empire just because Mordecai did not bow to pay homage to him. Esther chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Let the Bible speak.
When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. But he determined to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. Esther chapter 3, verses 5 to 6.
Thank you. On hearing about this plot, Mordecai took a step of faith to seek the Lord. And secondly, he reminded his cousin Esther, who had become queen, that God has placed her in such position for such a time they were in. He encouraged her to use her God-given opportunity and position to expose that Haman to the king and so save her people, as narrated in Esther chapter 3 and chapter 4. Now let us hear Mordecai's word of faith and confidence in God from Esther chapter 4, verse 8 to 14. Let the Bible speak.
He also gave a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given as Susan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for our people. So Hashtash returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hashtash and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he might live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king's these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's word, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at these times, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther chapter 4, verse 8 to 14.
Thank you. As a result of these words of faith and confidence in God, fasting and prayer were organized by Esther, and the plot turned against Haman, who ironically was hanged on the same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, in Esther chapter 7, verse 10. So many, instead of having confidence in the word of God, are having confidence or relying on the organizations to bring about peace, unity, and Christianity. It won't happen. People are afraid that Christianity will be buried by other rival religions without having confidence in the word of Christ that if we are one, the world will come to know that Christ is with us and have sent us. Let the Bible speak from John chapter 17, verse 19 to 21.
Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. John chapter 17, verses 17 to 23.
Thank you. This is the only solution for the preservation of Christianity.
That's true.
The disintegration of Christianity is as a result of the gross division in the Christian landscape. Many have told their members to pick up arms against the enemies of the cross to protect Christianity, without realizing that the real enemy we have, namely denominationalism, is within. Mordecai did not mobilize the Jews for physical battle, eternal weapons. He only went back to God, the only one to give victory in the time of crisis. Purge yourselves of your traditions and philosophies, dethrone yourself from the seat of Christ, you Jews, and enthrone Christ in your life, and you'll be secured. The only weapon we have to gain victory in time of religious crisis is the Bible, the word of God. When handled rightly, the word of God will dismantle all strongholds of the enemy to take them captive for Christ, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In that 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. So we conclude today's broadcast. Remember, Let the Bible Speak is a sponsored program of the Church of Christ Kado. Church of Christ Kado meets and worships four houses away from Polaris Bank at Life Camp Junction, and it is adjacent to Fana Hotel. Call us or send SMS to us using 080-604-11389 or 080-338-24662 or any other numbers that you have been given on this channel. Well, we invite you to worship with Church of Christ Kado or any other congregation of Church of Christ closer to you and experience the truth that sets people free. May the Lord continue to bless you and your family this week. Once again, from all of us in the studio, we say, do have a wonderful and COVID-19 free week.